Blog Talk Radio.
I wanna walk with you, Jesus. Feel your presence and know you're near. I wanna see you, Jesus, move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. Even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I wanna say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I want to cling to you, Jesus. Ooh, hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. And it's you in exchange for me. It's even is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. So let your kingdom come, and let your will be done here.
Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors, and every UCA member is a United Christian Ambassador if you are a lover and follower of Jesus Christ. you are a UCA member and you have ministry, anything, if you're just a lover and follower and you minister whenever you can, or you have a position in the church, or whatever you do in your neighborhood, if it's for the glory of God, then you are a UCA member. You are a ambassador for Christ, and that's all that really matters, you know. I'm your host, Pastor Timar McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. And, well, by the way, Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, we're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue in Upland, California, 91786. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. All right, and our services start at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. All right, so, you know, come and worship with us. I think you will really, as a matter of fact, I know you will really enjoy yourself. You'll actually grow. Even one visit, you'll wax strong in the Spirit, and you'll grow and draw closer to the Lord, because the Spirit of the Lord is definitely there, and you want to be a part of it. So come and visit us. At Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. We're in an upper room, and it's located 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, and services start at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon every Sunday. All right? Okay, so now call, text, or inbox all your friends and family members. Tell them to dial in right now for this special edition of UCA Radio. The number to dial in, 646-668-8537, or you can just go on my Facebook page and see the post of this particular show and click on it, and you can actually be able to listen from your computer today and all this week, so you can go right back to it and click on it again anytime this week and listen to the entire program. Look for us on Twitter, Alignable, or Instagram, okay? Just click on the link where you see the post of today's show in order to listen from your computer, okay? All right, okay. So, hey, listen, I have a book that we just released. It's called Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. It's available on paperback and electronically. So you might want to go ahead and check that out today. It's available on Amazon right now. So go ahead and do that. You could also visit our website and go. You can get to it from our website, churchofjesuschristministry.com. It's a no spaces, just churchofjesuschristministry.com. And just go check out the website and go ahead and order where it says books. When you go through the menu, in other words, you can see where it says books and just click on that. And then you can click on another little button on that page, and it'll take you right to the book, and you can write to Amazon and you can order the book, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. It's a really good book, and help you to know who the God is that you worship, the God of the Bible. And you want to tune into that. Also, tune into The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tecila McCain all this week on hsbn.tv. You can also catch us, catch our programs on the website, churchofjesuschristministry.com, and you can choose whichever or how many you want to listen to from our website. Just take your pick and click on either one. You can also catch us on YouTube and many other apps anytime this week. So join us. You will be blessed. So what I want to ask you to do right now is don't go away. Stay right there, and we will be right back with our message for today. Stay right there. Don't go away. To UCA Radio, where you will hear music and a message. I'm Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and I am your host, and just want to welcome everyone who just tuned in to listen, and we just want to say, hey, welcome, and we pray that you're all blessed on today's program. Lord God, I lift up your holy name this day, and we ask that you open the hearts of the people that have tuned in to this message, to this program, and that they will be blessed by the message in this program. So, Lord God, let your spirit move and touch the hearts of many for your glory in the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Thank you, Jesus. The message today is belief, faith, and trust. Belief, faith, and trust. Praise the Lord. Belief is an acceptance that a statement is true or that something or someone truly exists. I'm talking about belief now, that something or someone truly exists, like God, for example. God's statements or his word is true. To believe in God means to accept God as being true, real. It means to feel sure, convinced of the truth of his word. It means to truly be in a relationship with God. Belief brings forth a relationship. True belief is to place one's trust in God's truth. For example, we believe his word in John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him," which means continually believe, "whoever believeth in him shall not perish." We will not die. We will not be destroyed, but have eternal life. We will have eternal life. We accept his word as truth. We believe this. We accept Jesus as truth. We believe the Lord when he said in John 14, verse 6, he says, this is what Jesus said unto him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We truly believe this scripture. We do. Jesus tells us to believe in him in John 14, verse 1. The Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. To truly believe in Jesus means that you truly believe in God, because Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. So we can touch him, hold him. That means that you have mixed your belief with faith. When you believe in God, when you believe in Jesus, the key is to mix your belief with faith. Having faith in God means that you are willing to lay down your life for Jesus Christ and the good news of the kingdom of God. Are you willing to really do that? Do you really believe to that degree? You see, to believe means that you have built your life around him. True belief is a mixture of trust and faith. Okay, so what is faith? This is what scripture tells us about faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, some translations say that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, but the King James Version says it's substance. Now, I believe that it's both. I believe that it's substance and assurance. Faith substance adds value. I'm talking about faith substance. It adds value. It can create anything from a material item to a thought or an emotion. I'm talking about real faith, faith substance. Faith substance accomplishes something. Faith substance is active. You see, faith is the substance that tells us that the very things we are hoping for exist, because faith is the evidence of it. Your faith is the evidence of it. Our faith is the evidence that God exists. If you have faith in God, then your faith is the evidence that God exists. What does it mean to have faith? Faith involves reliance and trust, and it endures in the face of doubt. No matter what, in the face of doubts, your faith endures. Faith is a belief in or a confident attitude toward God, involving commitment to his will for one's life. Keep in mind that it is written in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. There it is, belief and faith. When you come to God, you must believe that he is, that he exists, that he is real, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You have to believe it. We must believe this. Understand that you don't need a large amount of faith. You can have faith the size of a mustard seed, which is very, very small. As it is written in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing, hear that scripture, it says, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. You can have a small amount of faith, because it's not how big your faith is, but how strong your faith is. You must have strong faith. That mustard seed faith is strong faith. It is the faith of God. Nothing will be impossible to you if you have the faith of God. you know, the same faith that brought the universe into existence, the faith of God. As Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That means it's to him that continually believe. All things are possible to you if you continually believe in God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. To have a lack of faith means that you have a lack of belief. Nothing will work for you if that's the case. If you have a lack of faith and a lack of belief, nothing's going to work for you, because faith and belief works hand in hand. In many instances, faith and belief can be interchangeable. For example, you can say, I believe that God will supply all my needs. Or you can say, I have faith that God will supply all my needs. Either way, it is faith and belief. Faith and belief in God leads to trust in God. To trust in God, and this is important, to trust in God is to have a firm belief in the reliability, the truth, the ability, the power, and strength of God and his word. Trust is built through our relationship with God that we have built over a period of time after the Lord has proven himself over and over again. You see, after the Lord has blessed you once, blessed you twice, blessed you three times, you begin to learn to trust in him. And you'll say to him, Lord, you've done it once. I know you can do it again. You have built your trust in his power, his truth, his ability, his strength, his reliability. You built trust. So you say that, Lord, you blessed me once. You can bless me again. We must understand that to trust in God entails more than just saying, I trust in the Lord. We act on our trust. It is our works or our actions, just like faith, as it is written in James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. It's written, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. If it has no works, it's dead. You can say, I have faith all day. But if no works follow your faith, then your faith is dead. Yea, a man may say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Our works is our actions. Our actions, when we step out in faith, that's an action. We're showing our faith by our works. When we say, be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's showing our faith by our works. Our actions, our works is our actions, which is brought forth by our faith and trust in God. Therefore, just like faith we must live a life of trust in God. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. The word faith is hardly used in the Old Testament because it was an act of trust. The word trust was used more than faith in the Old Testament because they are actually interchangeable. Where the old scripture says trust, you could actually put faith. When it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, you say, have faith in the Lord with all your heart. It could be interchangeable. The New Testament says faith, but the Old Testament says trust. Both means the same. So belief, faith, and trust works together. You can't have one without the other. In order for it to be true faith, true trust, and true belief, you have to have them all. So don't just say, I believe in God, because demons believe also and tremble. as it is written in James chapter 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils believe also and tremble. Yes, even the children of Israel, they believed in God when they were in the wilderness. They knew that God was real. They knew. They knew that he exists. They saw his great miracles when he delivered them out of Egypt. But they didn't believe he could conquer the armies in the promised land. Now, that's a trip to me. They saw all of those great works that he did. They saw him split the Red Sea. They saw him be in a cloud by day and a fire by night. They saw him when he drowned Pharaoh's army. They saw him when he had a hail coming down from the sky and turning into fire when it hit the earth. I mean, and the frogs and all of that. They saw these miracles happen right before their eyes. Yet they did not believe that God had the power to fight those armies that's in the promised land. Now, that I don't understand. You see, 10 of the spies that Moses sent out to spy the land came back with a negative report, a report that showed that they had no trust, faith, or belief in the one true living God. Moses sent 12 men out, but 10 came back with a negative report. Can you believe that? 10 came back with a negative report. That meant that they didn't trust in the Lord. 10 of them out of the 12 didn't trust in the Lord. They didn't have faith or belief in the power, the might of the one true living God. Numbers 13, verse 25 through 33. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, that all 12 came back. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. This land, I mean, the fruit was big, you know, big grapes and oranges and all. The fruit was big. And they said, yeah, we went through it, and it truly is a land of milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They showed them the fruit. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. Now, this was the 10 people that came back with the negative report. They said, the people be strong that's in the land, and the cities are walled cities. They're walled. They are well protected and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwelled in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. These were all these ungodly nations that were surrounding them, and they was telling where all of them were, because they were there for 40 days, and they could see where everybody was. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. In other words, he was saying, hey, settle down. Let's go up at once and possess it. He was trying to tell them, hey, I don't care about who's all in that land and the Hittites and Jebusites and all of that. We don't care about all of that. Let's go and conquer that land because we can take it. Caleb knew that the people had God with him. He said, for we are well able to overcome it, well able. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Looking in the natural, where Caleb was looking in the spirit, and he knew the spirit of the Lord was with them if they would go on and take the land. And they brought up an evil report. These 10 people brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. In their sight, they were like grasshoppers. In the sight of the giants, the Israelite, the spies, he said that it made us look like grasshoppers. They were so big. They were giants in the land. And they were fearful of the people, of the armies, of these ungodly nations. These leaders of the people brought back an evil report, a report that didn't trust in the power of the great God. After they had seen his power with their own eyes when he brought them out of Egypt. But they feared man. They feared man more than God. Doesn't that remind you of a lot of us today, a lot of Christians today? They fear man more than they do God. They believing that the power of these people were greater than the power of the living God. Only Caleb and Joshua stood up for the Lord. They were ready to go at once. They were ready to go at once and conquer the land. And you know, the people would have listened to Caleb and Joshua and went to conquer the land. The Lord would have fought their battle for them, and they would have fully conquered the land right then and there. But because of their unbelief, and understand that the Lord was very upset with them because they were fearful to go over and take the land, knowing that God was going to fight the battle for them. But they were too fearful. They feared the people over there. So because of that, the Lord had them to remain in the wilderness. That generation that was so fearful remained in the wilderness, and they waxed old and they died in the wilderness. But their clothes and shoes remained fresh and new as a witness against them. The Lord had their very clothes be a witness against them, but they waxed old and they died. And the next generation went over and conquered the land. But the Lord swore that that particular generation would not enter into his rest. As it is written in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, the Lord says, "So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest." Take heed. Now, what did the Lord mean by that? That they will not enter into his rest. That he's talking about his ultimate rest. They will not enter into the ultimate rest. That seventh day, that 7,000th year, that millennium year, you will not enter into that rest. That's the rest that we all as Christians labor to enter into. We want to be in his everlasting rest. But the Lord said, that generation shall not enter into my rest. And then the Hebrew writer continues to say, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." Now, he's talking to Christians. That's us. Take heed, lest there be in any of us an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. If you're with the Lord, stay with him. You see, many people in the world believe that there is a God out there somewhere. They just don't know the real God. They just don't know who the real God is. So they make anything or anyone that will bend to their will and their desires their God. Christians of today believe in the one true living God. They know that he's out there, but many keep him far away. That's true. And examine yourselves, because many Christians, they worship the Lord afar off. They don't want him close. They don't want to have a deep, close relationship, a deeper walk with the Lord, because they don't want God to interfere in their agendas and their lifestyles. Let's just call it like it is. Instead, they want the one true living God to bend to their agenda, bless their plans, their goals, and everything they put their minds to do. They're asking the Lord, bless what I do. They could care less about God's perfect will in this hour. They could care less about God's desires, what God wants. They just want what they want. And they want God to bless what they want. That's what you call selfish Christianity. And true Christianity is not selfish. It's not selfish, not true Christianity. Understand that I'm not talking about all Christians. So people don't start getting mad at me and saying this and saying that. I'm not talking about all Christians, because there are Christians out there that's wholeheartedly for the perfect will of God, and they will lay down their lives for the gospel of the kingdom of God, for Jesus Christ. But there's also a large percentage that truly don't believe in God completely. They know he exists, but they don't fully believe that he can do anything. You see, in the true believing Christian, the real true believing Christians, they believe that God can do absolutely, positively anything. No matter what, no matter how impossible it may seem, they believe that God can do anything. But those selfish Christians, those that don't fully, completely, totally believe in God, they don't believe that he can do anything, and they live their lives accordingly. They don't believe. Many Christians believe that Jesus died for their sins, and many have even accepted him in their life. But they don't believe that he is their Lord. You see, there's one thing to accept the Lord in your life, but you don't surrender your to accept the Lord in your life, but you don't surrender your life to him. You see, they don't believe that he is their Lord. They don't know him as Lord. Many Christians know God as Savior, but they don't know him as Lord, meaning master, the supreme power and authority, the ruler and governor of their lives. For God to be Lord in your life, that means that he wants a one-on-one relationship with you. It means that he wants to be your father. He wants to be Abba, Daddy, Father. Why, you may ask? Because he is our very personal Lord God. Every time God wants to prove to his people that he is their healer, they will not allow him to. Can you think of that? Can you believe that? That many Christians will not allow God to be their healer, because they don't believe that he is their healer. They don't trust him to heal. They would rather trust doctors and pharmacists. And you know, God may lead you to doctors and pharmacists for particular things, but we are not to put our trust and our faith in our doctors and pharmacists. Our faith is in the Lord. Our trust is in the Lord. Our belief is in God, because he is the true healer. Even when doctors perform surgery, they have to set you aside so that your body can heal, because God put that mechanism in you, in your body, when he created you to heal itself. And if it can't heal itself, then God heals you. He steps in and speed up the healing process, and he heals you. Our trust is always in God. Doctors don't heal, but God heals. He is our healer. You know, they don't have faith that God can heal them, but Scripture confirms him to be our healer, as it is written in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. Here's what the Lord said. He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, that means to hear and obey, and will do that which is right in his sight. Understand, there's things that we have to do on our part, okay? He said, if you do what's right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments, he said, if you give ear to his commandments, which is his word, and keep all his statutes, here's what he will do. If you do that, God will do this. He said, I will put none of the diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, which means which I have brought upon the people of the world. When he says Egyptians, that means the people of the world, okay? And today, for us today, and he goes on to say, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That healeth thee, that means that continually heals you. I am the Lord that continually heals you. For us to believe, trust, and have faith in him, that means that we must do all that he says. That takes works or actions on our part. Our faith and belief in him is our actions. We must obey. You do this, I'll do that. If we do this, he'll do that. That means if we obey, then the blessing comes. Keep in mind that the Lord God became a man so that he could die for our sins, so that you could be healed, as it is written in Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And remember this line, and with his stripes, we are healed. So don't say he doesn't heal. And you don't lose your faith in God and your trust in God, believing that he won't heal, because he will. We just have to do our part, and then he does his part. We must believe his word. Many Christians don't believe that God is their provider either. You know, we get ourselves in a situation, our finances is low, we have a lack of this and a lack of that, and we don't believe that the Lord will provide. However, scriptures assures us that he will provide. It assures us that he is our provider. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. There are many Christians today who don't believe that he's our fighter, our protector, but scripture tells us that he is. God is our fighter, our protector. Exodus 14:14, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You'll just be still and watch the Lord fight your battles. No matter what these battles are, he will fight your battles for you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17, the Lord is telling them this, okay? And it goes for us too. You shall not need to fight in this battle. He said, you won't have to fight in this battle. Why? Because God is going to fight for you. He said, set yourselves, stand ye still. In other words, he said, go ahead. He was telling the children of Israel, which he's telling us too. Go ahead and set yourself in battle array, you know. Set yourself, Christians, in battle array, but be still and watch the salvation of the Lord. Watch him fight for you. O Judah and Jerusalem, Christian church, Christian people, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Don't be afraid to go out and stand up for the Lord. Christians, don't be afraid to stand firm in the Lord and trust in him in times of trouble. As it is written in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it. They run to the name of God and are safe. We have to do that in this hour. We are his righteousness. We are covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Believe it or not, there are many Christians who don't even believe in the Holy Spirit and the gifts and works of the Spirit. Now, that is a shame. And you should be shamed if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit and the gifts and works of the Spirit. When Scripture speaks firmly and assuredly of his gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 11. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation or the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The manifestation, that means when the Lord makes it obvious, makes it clearly seen, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And that Spirit, of course, is the Holy Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same self-Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit of the living God, dividing to every man severally as he will. Today you might be a healer. Tomorrow the Lord may have you prophesying. It is as the Spirit wills. But many do not believe in the Holy Spirit, yet they say they believe in God. You can't truly believe in the one true living God if you don't believe fully in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I ask you, do you really believe? Do you? We all must examine ourselves so that if there's any form of unbelief working within us, we can do the same as the man who had a son who was possessed with a spirit. He asked the Lord to help his unbelief. Remember that scripture? It's Mark chapter 9, verses 20 through 24. And they brought him, the apostles brought him unto Jesus. And when he saw him, either when the young man saw him or the demons in the man saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. He was really possessed. And Jesus asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And the father said, of a child. And the father went on to continue, and he says, oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And then the father said, but if you can do anything, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And then that's when Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That means to him who continually believe. We have to continually believe. And straightway, in other words, that's like having a lifestyle of believing in God. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. In other words, help me, Lord. Help you. Help me with my unbelief. And then at one point he says, I believe. And then he turns and asks the Lord to help his unbelief. He's kind of struggling here. You know, we go through that sometimes. We believe, but sometimes we kind of struggle a little bit. The father of the young man showed his faith and belief in Jesus because of two things. Number one, he brought his son to Jesus in the first place. Number two, he believed that Jesus could help his unbelief. When we find areas in our lives where it seems like we don't have any faith, trust, and belief, it's okay to ask the Lord to help our unbelief. If you're feeling shaky and you believe it, yet you don't believe, and you're trying to trust, but you're having a hard time, ask the Lord to help your unbelief. And he will do it just like he did with this man. Jesus didn't beat the man up because of his unbelief. He didn't fuss at the man and argue with him because he didn't believe or he had a problem believing. Instead, he did as the man asked. He helped his unbelief by answering this man's prayer. He cast the demon out of this man's son, thus making the man a believer. It is when Jesus comes through for us and we are witnesses of his greatness, his miracles, his love, that we become believers. It is when the Holy Spirit places a strong desire in our hearts for him, for God, for Jesus, that we become believers. We became believers when we heard his word right then and there. We believed. And right then and there, faith was given to us by the Holy Spirit. The day that you heard his word and you believed and received it, that is the day that faith was given to you by the Holy Spirit. And our faith is the proof that God exists. It's evidence that God exists. So let us all walk in true belief, true faith, and true trust in God. From this time onward, make up your mind that you're going to do that. From this time onward, walk in the faith, the trust, and the belief in God. Amen and amen. Don't go away. We'll be back.
Always living victory.
are listening to UCA Radio, where you will hear music and a message. I'm Pastor T. Meyer McCain. Would like to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to me. A lot of my faithful UCA members who listen in every week, either on the phone or on the computer, and you really have been a blessing to us, and I really appreciate it more than words can say. Keep in mind that we're here every week at 3 p.m. Pacific time, and which is 6 p.m. Eastern, and then you want to just check your time zone wherever you are in the world, the United States or in any other country, and dial in or just go to my Facebook page and click on the post of this particular show, and you can hear it today and all week. You can just hear it over and over. Or go to solarrecordsradio.com and look up Pastor T. Meyer, UCA Radio, or Christian Talk with Pastor T. Meyer and Pastor Tasila, my wife, and just listen to the messages if you want to, or just go to our website, www.churchofjesuschrist.com, and you can go ahead and where it says media, you can go on the media page and just click on any of our programs on hsn.tv, okay? Holy Spirit Broadcasting. It's you can just go there and just click on you know, any of the programs that you want to hear, just make a choice, whichever one you want to listen to. There's a lot of good messages on there, and it's just a long line of messages that you can see us and hear us bring forth messages, Pastor Tasila and Pastor T. Meyer McCain. So that's what you want to look for. The Message of Life, Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and Pastor T. Meyer and Tasila McCain, The Message of Life. Don't forget to order the book, Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. Order it. It's available on Amazon right now, so go ahead and order it. You will be blessed when you sit down and read this book, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch your heart and that you will share and probably order some extra ones for some friends and family members, okay? So I guess that's about it. That just about wraps us up. Once again, thank you for tuning in. We're here again next week, so be sure to tune in with us, okay? God bless you all, and we will see you next week. All righty, bye-bye.